All right, hey guys, welcome to another episode of
Dos Virgos.
Hey,
welcome back.
Thanks for tuning back in.
Yeah, we appreciate it. We really do.
Asia?
Yes.
We have a special guest today.
We do.
Hey, everybody.
Hello, special guest.
Hi.
This is Erin.
Erin.
But before we get to our special guest, let's talk about our week.
Okay.
How's it been?
Rough.
Why so?
It's just hard to be out here grinding and following your dreams. But that was it. Just like, you know, I think everyone who is doing this full time, part time, thinking about it.
Yeah.
It's just like, man, when is it going to happen? And you can't ask that question because you may be asking it for the next 30 years or tomorrow. You don't know.
Yeah, I have faith though. I feel like, you know, we just got to stick with it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So it was a rough few days. It wasn't even a whole week.
Okay, cool, cool.
Then I'm like, I'm back.
All right.
But that's it. What happened good? Let me think. You know, I drive Lyft. And
Side job.
And a passenger told me I look like the girl from the movie. I said, who's Storm? Oh, sorry, from X-Men. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, who's Storm? Oh my gosh, Halle Berry, how exciting. And he goes, no, not Halle Berry. So I was like, well, is she cute? And he's like, yeah. I was like, I will take it. So that was the high point of my day. Feel good about that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it there because something else happened, but that's not for this episode. How was your week?
My week has been crazy. Crazy busy in a good way. So I'm on a little show that I'll talk about soon. So that's been exciting. So just love being on set. And just dealing with the day-to-day of my regular jobs that I have to do. You know, I have like 25 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wear 25 different hats to, you know, LA, you know.
You have
jobs
to.
Jobs and some fraud. That's what we do.
You have to.
But let's get into it, guys. We're very excited because this is the first time that we're having a guest.
And but not the last.
Not the last. We're going to make this a regular occurrence. And, Erin.
What's up? I did not know I was the first guest ever.
Yes.
You That's are the cool. first guest.
Super cool. excited.
Let's talk about how we met.
Let's.
All right. So,
Yeah, I want to hear your version. Make it interesting and exciting.
It is interesting and exciting. I do many jobs.
Right.
And one of them is promotional and promotional modeling and brand ambassador. And what was the event? MTV?
It was an MTV event, yeah.
It was. And Erin, you weren't there the first day, but you were there the second day, I think.
I was there 2 days. How many days was this thing?
Three.
Okay, so I was there.
Yeah, the last 2 days.
The last two, yeah.
Yeah, so Erin was the bear.
I was a dancing bear.
Dancing right. bear. On so track. I did not see him. Until much later in the day. So, before you revealed yourself. And
yes.
I was like, who is this random guy like
bear.
Talking to us? And then you were like, oh, I'm the bear.
That's right.
Yeah, so we got to chat and we hung out for about 2 days and we became cool. And I was like, oh, he's a dope person. And then to my surprise...
I took the bear head off and she was like, oh, what?
I was like, okay.
I'm just playing.
Okay, under the bear head. But like, yeah, he was... Erin is very handsome, guys. And then Erin was telling me about...
Like Thor.
Oh, thanks.
Thor. But, you know, we got to chatting about just, like, regular stuff, like...
She tried to tell me about this little movie called Love Jones.
Because, you know, he white. I didn't
to which I laughed white. Inside the bear head. And said I knew what Love Jones was.
He knew all about it. He knew... Erin down for the get down.
Mm-hmm.
So, we got to chatting, and then he has a lot of interesting things about him, so we decided to have him on the podcast, because he's a unicorn.
Right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
How does it feel to be a unicorn?
Both good and bad. For one, that's very flattering.
Yeah.
So, for one, I'm like, oh, that's so nice. Like, oh, I'm a unicorn. Awesome. And on another hand, I'm like, why am I a unicorn? Like, I'm not really doing anything that's so special. I want other people to be... doing some of the things I'm doing. So, you know, that's why it's kind of a little bit like, oh, I'm a unicorn. Why are there not others?
Well,
you know? So it's both flattering and...
In today's day,
you know,
you are unicorn.
We don't meet too many people like you.
Mm-hmm.
So
very unique.
You are unique. You, especially in LA. You know?
Especially in LA. In the entertainment business
and,
as well.
Yeah.
I could write a book like Tiffany Haddish.
Right.
The last black unicorn.
Right.
And you would be the
white unicorn. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with it. But sure.
Okay. So one interesting fact about our friend Aaron here is that he only dates the chocolate.
That's right. I exclusively date black women.
Well.
Very interesting.
We had so many questions, didn't we, Asia?
Mm. So many questions.
So many.
Actually, it was great because we had this discussion before Angie even met Aaron.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Met you.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
This was
okay.
Just something
oh.
We were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
A video that we watched of this man. I'm not going to go into it. But,
but it wasn't me. Or
it wasn't
me.
You. No,
oh,
it was
okay,
not
yeah.
You.
It wasn't
okay.
You.
It
wasn't
the man. And just the video was, it made us uncomfortable, I think.
Because
of how the guy, what the words he was using, his everything was
sure.
Very, it was very strange.
Sure.
And so it got us thinking, like, about people who exclusively date people in general.
Uh-huh.
Either inside your, I hate the term outside your race, inside your race, but that's
sure.
That's what we know.
Yeah.
Anyway, people who do that exclusively and, then we met you, and it was like, gosh darn it, bring it in. We need to get to the bottom of this.
You're right. And hopefully I don't use the same scary terminology as this other gentleman
so
used.
It made us come to our topic today, whether it is fetish or preference.
Right.
Because I feel like he fetishized, like,
right.
Black women.
Which
in
is
a
thing.
Negative
which is a common thing.
Yes.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, okay, it's like the over-sexualization of black
right.
women, and it can have a negative connotation. So
yeah.
That's what we were
mm-hmm.
like. We didn't, just some of the things, like, oh, the way they smell. We don't all smell the same.
Yeah, and I was telling, like, I was telling my mother about the topic today, and she was asking me, like, what's in my mind, how are they different? A fetish and a preference.
Right.
And I said, for me, a fetish is more about a caricature of a person, rather than, like, who they are.
Okay.
So, in the video, the man was saying things like, he's like, if you ever see a black woman at a store, the way she points to the boxes of cereal. And I was like, what? He's like, no, watch her hand. Her hand, black women, they point a certain way. And I was just like, this is weird. This
and
is,
we do not all point.
Yeah, we're all, well, no one can see what I'm doing, but this is not how I point.
I want to see this guy's video.
I have a very, very we will find it for you.
I'll find it for you.
A very stern pointing finger, and it's not how I point. And I just thought it was very much like a caricature of like black women and why he likes them, and it didn't feel good. It was like kind of like skin crawly.
Yeah,
the way
he
was describing why he likes us so much.
Agreed.
Yeah, I see. So, can I tell you what I think is the difference between a fetish and a preference?
Oh, sure.
I think about a fetish is I think it has to do with like a sexual fantasy,
mm-hmm.
And it comes down to being all about sex and stuff like that. And there's a lot of guys out there who have like a fetish for
mm-hmm.
black women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, whatever race they are, whatever. And so I would say mine differs from fetish because it's not about sex. It's about building a life with somebody. I'm looking for a future wife. And I'll tell you what all I love about black women
mm-hmm.
here coming up. But for me, it's about building a life, about doing life with somebody, and it's about a lot more than sex. I think sex is for marriage between a husband and a wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a virgin, which I guess is another thing that makes me a unicorn.
A unicorn.
Different show, but mm-hmm.
All right. And so I'm waiting for my wife. I'm waiting for marriage to have sex. So it's not like this one-off sexual fantasy
mm-hmm.
thing. I'm looking to build a life with my wife, with a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, so that's the beginnings of what I think is a fetish. It's just having
mm-hmm.
to do with all things below the belt instead of life.
The whole
and
person.
Everything. The whole thing that comes along with
right.
loving a black woman and living with a black woman and doing life and being
there's
married.
There's a lot that goes into
all
that.
Of that.
There is.
There's a lot.
It's a lot. Why black women?
Why black women? Okay, so. Let's hope I don't sound like
oh
boy here on your video. But yes, why black women? So. We three can all agree that black women are very unique. Yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. We
right.
agree.
Very different. Black
right.
women are very different from everybody else.
Okay.
So there are some overarching generalizations or whatever, but I would say black women have a different kind of strength, a different kind of femininity, a different kind of passion, zeal, whatever. The way you do life is different,
okay.
right? And so that starting point, those first generalizations are definitely something I'm attracted to in that first starting point. And then everybody's unique in and of themselves in there. But you guys have that as a background, as
mm-hmm.
a culture. You have all these things from your culture that influence who you are in your present and all that kind of stuff. So I'm attracted to those things. I'm attracted to those starting points.
Mm-hmm.
And then my pinpoint attractions are based on each individual person and the
right.
uniqueness and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, besides the internal characteristics that I love and I'm attracted to, is the external as well. I love the skin. I love the hair. I don't want to live my life without a black woman by my side and without that, without those things. Without the hair, without all of those things that are also unique, the external things that are unique as well.
So, question.
Yeah.
When did you first realize that this was a thing? Like, you have a thing for black women?
It was somewhere after I'd moved to LA. So, while I was in college, so I graduated from college in 2011.
Where'd you go to college?
19 now. So
what state?
I went here in California.
Oh, okay.
I went to the American Musical and Dramatic Academy
okay.
in
oh.
Hollywood. So I got my BFA in acting.
Oh, okay.
Woo woo.
Yep, yep. yeah. And so it was there. It was after I'd moved some from Portland, Oregon, which is last I heard, which was a while ago, the stat may have changed, was like the third whitest city in the States.
Mm-hmm. It
sounds
pretty white.
Sounds pretty white.
Portland.
So I
okay.
did not know of, or wasn't thinking of, wasn't experiencing, the beauties that the Lord had created.
Mm. Oh,
and
okay.
when I got to LA, and when I was going through college, and all this kind of stuff, that's where I started becoming friends with all sorts of people who weren't white. And
right.
I was learning a lot about cultures, learning a lot about different people and different things. And before I ever started saying I exclusively date black women, all of my friends in college, the majority of my friends in college were black. And they were always saying, oh, Aaron's going to marry a black woman. And I was like, okay, cool. Sounds good
yeah.
to me. I can be anybody. Any woman who is, like, equally yoked with me, because I'm a Christian as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I just need her to be living for the Lord like I am.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever, whoever she is fine with me. You
mm-hmm.
know, black woman, okay, cool. Whoever,
right.
okay, cool. But somewhere along in that
it just
path,
clicked.
I was like, oh my gosh. It will only be a black woman
that's
for
funny.
Me. Because as far as I'm concerned, for me, black women are the ultimate. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned.
It's hard to disagree.
Right?
Right.
So some
disagree.
Other people may be interested and better suited for somebody else. And there's
right.
nothing wrong with the other races, other women, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Women are amazing, right?
Right?
But for me, as far as I'm concerned, black women are the ultimate. So.
Okay, I have another question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this is more like political or more deeper question. I don't know what.
Okay.
Anyway, so grew up in Portland, Oregon, where there is no black people.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, maybe like there's
couple.
Like one and a half.
There's
black
a guy
people
that he
Jermaine.
Got his car broke down and he's
stuck there.
He's stuck
in Portland.
Yeah. Yeah. So not having exposure to black people and the media has come a long way, but the media does not show us in the best light.
I would agree 100%.
Did you, when you first got to LA and got around black people, was there ever a time when it was just like, based on what you saw, did you have a moment of like, this is all a lie, or having to let go of some of the biases that you may have acquired as a child or in growing up in like Whiteville, Oregon?
Yeah, I would. Yeah. No, I would say
that's
I
actual
didn't
town, Whiteville.
Whiteville, Oregon. Oh my gosh, there is actually a town in Oregon or a city in Oregon called White City.
See, I knew it.
My stepbrother, I think, used to live there. But
flabbergasted.
Anyway, yeah.
Flabbergasted.
Anyway, moving on from White City. I've never been to White City. Praise the Lord. wait, what was, oh yeah, so, okay, so, no, I didn't have, like, biases and stuff like that.
Okay.
I wasn't raised in that type of a way, or it wasn't even really part of my consciousness. I mean, maybe subconsciously because of what I'd seen, but I didn't come to LA, and I didn't, like, start making friendships with people with some sort of a bias
mm-hmm.
or thinking really anything negative. I really was just thinking of people as people and that kind of thing. And so I didn't yet have that like, oh, black women are the ultimate for me. It was nothing. It was just more like
people.
Oh, people.
Okay.
Whatever. But then because I was friends with black people, so many black people, I realized, oh my gosh, the media portrays things very often in a very negative or stereotypical way that is not my experience.
Mm-hmm.
How black women are portrayed in movies and TV and stuff like that is not like the women that I know. It's not like the women that I'm friends with. You know? And so, you know, yeah, that's something that I, too, am trying even in my career and to change that conversation.
Yeah.
You know, and hey, we already got The Little Mermaid now.
Right.
So
hey,
there are some positives. Like, there are some things in the media. It's not just all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a lot of negativity towards black women in the media and, like, over-sexualization and just craziness or whatever. And it becomes this... the stereotype, and then the way that people have biases, like you're talking about, and think like, oh, this is what black women are, or this is what black people are, and it's like, this is something else. This is not like everybody's experience. This is like a, you know, a one-off thing for this movie or whatever. But, so one of the ways I'm trying to change the media's portrayal of these kinds of things and whatnot is, I've written a book and a script. And the book is about an interracial romance, and it's, like, starring this black woman, and it paints a different picture. It paints a picture of a black woman who is pure and educated and intelligent, like the black women that I know. This isn't, like, some fantasy I've made up. This is what I see as true to life, as real life. So the book's on Amazon. It's called My Good Thing.
Hey, you gonna check it out?
If they wanna snag a copy on Kindle or
paperback.
We'll
provide a link somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
At the bottom.
We'll figure out how links work.
Yeah. but besides that, you know, going around and living my life and speaking out about these things, or when I am interviewed for different things, I've been on a lot of different shows besides the podcast here today.
We're the best.
I've done a lot of... What was that? Yeah. You're the best? Okay, I've done a lot of different things on TV and stuff like that where I've been able to talk about black women and the goodness of black women and that kind of thing.
Like a low-key spokesperson for
Thank
the culture.
You.
We appreciate that.
Okay.
You talked a little bit about, like, you know, your background, where you're from and stuff like that. How is it when you bring a black woman home? What are your parents like? What's
My
the family like? Your
grandparents
alive?
My parents are still alive, yes.
Grandparents.
Is that what you said? Oh, my grandparents. My grandma on both sides are alive. My grandfathers are not.
Okay.
Yeah. So my parents and my grandma, both of my grandmas, they're very about it. They're very good with it. They know who I am. They know who I am in the Lord, and they know that I'm pursuing His will for my life and those kinds of things. And so they're like, hey, amen. If the Lord's will for your life is a black woman, we can't wait to meet her. Did you see my very first Instagram post?
We did do research. We like to research our guests. So we did go through your Instagram.
So my first post is a good shout out to my mother, who years ago, if you remember this post, years ago for Christmas, every Christmas she gives everybody a like a Christmas ornament.
Okay.
Always Christmas themed. So this one year, she was very excited and just kind of giggling to herself. I'm like, she is really perky to give out these ornaments. And so she wants me to go last. She starts at some part in the table and we're going the opposite direction of where I am. And so I'm like, okay, cool, I'm last. People are opening up snowflakes, Santa Claus, snowmen, reindeer, whatever. It gets to me. And my Christmas ornament is a beautiful black Barbie Christmas ornament.
Yes, we did see that.
Right?
See,
and so, and my mom is like, there's your future wife as a Christmas ornament or whatever. So just to say, my mother's very supportive. My whole family's very supportive. When I was in high school, my grandma, she lived with us for a while, and she used to tell me, like, Aaron, I just see you marrying a dark-skinned woman.
Really?
Yeah. And at the time, again, this was not on my radar in Oregon, you know? And so I was like, okay, grandma, like, I don't know why you say that. And she's like, that's just what I see for you. That's, like,
Nana
your personality or whatever. Yeah. And so, anyway, so my grandma's great. My grandma is a wonderful, wonderful grandma.
Okay.
So those are some examples of how supportive my family is.
Have you brought anyone home yet?
I have, yeah. A couple times. I want to say two different women. Obviously, those women did not work out.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, my family was very welcoming to them. It was a good time. Good visit.
Right.
And then the relationship ended somewhere down the road. But, yeah.
As
they do.
It happens.
Yeah. Sometime one of them won't end, so...
That's true.
Yeah.
That's very optimistic.
That's
I think that's a goal.
Optimistic.
That's a goal, you know?
Yeah.
Not to be alone.
Yeah.
So, with dating, what kind of issues in relationships have you experienced dating outside your race? Because, I mean, I have dated outside my race. Asia, have you?
One boyfriend was white. Romanian, to be exact. It's funny because...
Is this in college?
Yes.
We went to college together.
Yes.
If you listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, what did I say? Yes. It's funny because, like, outside of my race, I think specifically is either, like, white, Asian, I guess Indian. I don't know. I don't consider Hispanic outside of my race.
Because you're part Hispanic?
No, I'm not.
Oh.
It's because I just feel like we're the same people. But I also grew up...
They might disagree.
Some disagree,
okay.
Some don't, right?
Okay.
So growing up, I've always had, like, just always Dominican friends. Like, always.
Okay.
And some of them are darker than me. So it's so funny because, like, when I think of outside my race, I don't include Hispanic men. So I have dated Hispanic men, but they were, I guess, technically outside of my race. But I don't include them because I'm, like, we're both black. Like, when we go down the street... We two black people.
Yeah, if you're not white, you're black, right?
No, just have feel. I really do feel that. So,
I'm kind of kidding, but that's like a common phrase that people.
Yeah, I really do.
Some people
that.
Really feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, I have, and but now I don't.
Yeah. Well, culturally, I'm sure you've experienced. Well, I have experienced dating outside my race. Sometimes you get the looks from the peoples, or sometimes you get comments. Have you ever had any of those experiences?
Looks and stuff, sure. I don't mind.
Oh.
Whatever. Go ahead and look. I'm with
mm-hmm.
the most beautiful woman in the room. Like, whatever. Of course people are going to be looking, you know?
He's single alerters.
Oh, wait, is he?
I am single,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's
yeah.
single alerters.
We didn't ask that beforehand.
Yeah,
we just assumed. Okay.
Yeah, no, I am. So, yeah, I mean, the looks and stuff like that, but really I haven't experienced, a bunch of... like racist negativity. Like I said, my family has been fine with it, and any woman I've dated, her family has always been fine
mm-hmm.
with it.
Oh.
So beyond the occasional random looks on the street and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
or like haters on YouTube.
Do you get some
because I've done all sorts of, like I was saying, I've done all sorts of interviews and videos and stuff like
right.
that. So if I talk about my love for black women, some people hate it. If they're white, if they're black, whoever they are, some people just don't like it. Some
yeah.
people don't think you should date outside of your race. Still, even in 2019.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And some people just think they go with the fetish thing. And
they
say,
know
like,
why.
It's a fetish
like,
or whatever.
Yeah. Well, we, yeah.
Yeah.
We need it. We wanted to know why. Hence why you're here. Like,
yeah.
Kind of
yeah.
open that dialogue.
Right.
I think, like, for me, or I guess Angie also, it's a question because...
Oh,
like
something's happening here in the kitchen.
She's moving.
Something is dripping.
She's moving.
Uh-oh. I think.
Oh,
that
it's just sweating.
Okay,
sweating.
Great.
I'm gonna have some more of this.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm crazy.
Yeah.
It's just the iced tea.
Just the iced tea. It's homemade. We will link a recipe.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So for me, it's because like being a black woman, we are like the least dated.
Statistically,
yeah. No one wants to date us.
Which is
crazy. That's
crazy.
Yeah, so we are, like, no one wants to date us. Not even black men.
Can we talk about that for a
yeah.
second?
So, it's wild.
I love black men, let me tell you. However, some of y'all be playing these games, man.
Yeah.
And you can't get mad because I have friends that are in interracial relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because they don't want to date black men, but it's just also like, you know.
Who am I going
to
date?
Sometimes
like,
a white guy comes correct.
Right. I'm a firm
believer
in dating who likes you. Liking who likes you. I'm a firm believer in that concept.
Yeah.
Like, we all have our crushes or our fantasies or our fetishes, whatever we have. You have to date who wants to date you. I don't have my whole life to be waiting for people who don't want to date me. But, so anyway, to say that. So, to see a white man who looks like Thor, by the way.
Thanks.
Exclusively liking black women, it was just interesting to me.
Sure.
Because it's like, you can have any woman you want, honestly, right?
Thank you.
Based on your... No, you know,
We'll plug his IG.
Yeah.
I could go look at it.
Yeah, superficially speaking, right? You are a very good looking man. White man, right?
Thank you. Yes.
So it's
thanks.
Like, why would you want to date a black woman? Not because we're not awesome, but because it's a lot of baggage that comes with dating us.
How so?
Because the world hates us.
Oh, man. Everybody comes with baggage.
No,
but
they do.
Different kinds of baggage.
They do. But
so,
I feel
you
like,
know,
black women come with burdens. Not our own burdens. like burdens of the world.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right. So it's like, do you want to take on that burden? Mm. Do you want to take on the looks, the stares? You know, family. Your family is great, apparently.
Yeah.
But not all families are great.
True. Yeah.
So it's just like, do you want to take? Why would you want to take on that?
But also being sensitive to it. So like, even if you're, you know, dating someone that's a different race, dating a black woman, you have to be sensitive how society, things that we deal with on a day to day, and also be compassionate. I think mm-hmm. one of the things that has steered me away from interracial dating is kind of like, is this person, like, if I have this experience, is
right.
this person going to understand mm-hmm. that experience when mm-hmm. I come home? Or are they going to say, well, you know,
right.
just kind of brush it aside? And I'm like, no, that was like racist. And they're like, oh, no, maybe, you know.
Right.
And it's just like, are you going to understand that that was my experience and be compassionate towards it? Or is
right.
it like beyond the scope? Because honestly,
absolutely.
We all are raised differently. So,
mm-hmm.
you know. You may not, you know, have experienced the things that I've experienced, so it might be
sure.
hard to interpret it.
Right.
So, yeah.
And even, I feel sometimes it becomes like a research project, right? So I may come home and tell you my experience, you know, something very nuanced that as a black person, I wouldn't have to explain to someone that's black. I'd be like, let me tell you what this man did. And it's like, they already know what I'm getting
sure,
at.
Sure, sure.
As opposed to having to explain to someone that's not black and then genuinely you want to know what's going on and you want to come comfort me
mm-hmm.
and you want to empathize and sympathize with me, but we have to go through first, well, let me explain to you what happened
sure.
and then let me also explain to you why this is what actually happened. That's
mm-hmm.
not what was said, but this is what was said. So it's like sometimes I think about that, like, do I want to like have to, I'll say, teach or explain
mm-hmm.
more about myself
mm-hmm.
when someone that's black, and that's not always the case, because I know all because we're black doesn't mean we share the same experiences and
sure.
stuff like that, but it's a better chance if they are black
yeah.
but they may have already had that experience, and you don't have to say, you know, because when I'm venting, I don't want to be like, well, I'm venting because
yeah
as opposed to just venting.
Yeah, yeah. I think early on in a relationship or early on in somebody who's not black having to figure those things out and learn about those things, it might be like that. I think that somebody who's a mature human being, whatever
mm-hmm.
their race, and then also somebody who's been in the game, I put that in quotes. I don't know what else to say right now, but been in the game for a while and knows and understands it and gets
mm-hmm.
it and stuff like that, to where if you told me that kind of thing, I wouldn't have to ask you questions and whatnot. I could be compassionate. I would know what
right.
the story is and where it's going
mm-hmm.
and that kind of thing. And of course, I know that that stuff happens on a day-to-day still in 2019. That happens. And so, yeah, I'm compassionate to that. That's also why I want to change things in the media. That's why I think there's a lot of change that still needs to happen, still needs to occur and whatnot. I was going to say something else, too. I forgot what it was. Something that you had said, Angelique, but I forgot what it was. I was going
to
respond to it.
It'll come back
yeah.
to you. Let's talk about some fun stuff, huh?
Okay.
Fun stuff. Here we go. No,
all the things that come with dating a black woman.
Mm.
What about the hair?
What about it? I love the hair. So
what about weaves? Could you deal with a weave?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know about a weave?
Yeah, I'm down for all that stuff. For one, I love hair. I love hair, whether it's natural, whether it's
very long hair,
any of those, anything, right? And so, yeah, I'm into all of that. I'm into the changing looks. I'm into, you know, whatever. All of those kinds of things.
Would you help her take down her weave?
Absolutely. I would take
Are you going to grease the scalp?
Are you going to grease her scalp?
I'm totally down to do all the hair stuff. Now, that is something that I need to learn how to do and would love to learn how to do, because someday I'm going to have a daughter or daughters, and I would love to be the one or one. My wife and I both
right.
could do our daughter's hair. Because I love hair and I would want, I so much want to do that.
That was my next question.
Was it?
What was good. You're good at this.
So I also, you know, whatever. So yeah. I love hair and yeah, I'm all about hair and all the different ways to do hair and all the different things.
Because you know,
we need
like
a
silk pillowcase and
silk
a bonnet.
Pillowcase, the bonnet. There's so many protective stylings.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
what's your favorite?
I'm into all of
protective
it. And I love locks. I love locks.
Oh,
when
really?
Ladies have locks,
okay.
It's like,
ooh.
The heart emojis come out of my eyes.
Had you met me 3 years ago, this
She is. Oh, yeah? Asia used to have locks.
I've had all the styles, but yes, I had locks.
And I had locks too, just like
we heard
like a week ago. Yeah,
for a project, right?
For yeah, exactly, for a TV show that I played a rapper in.
Oh, okay.
And so I was rapping on the show.
Are you a rapper?
I'm not a rapper in real life. No way. No, more like I drive my roommate insane by like randomly rapping around the house sometimes.
Okay.
But like no, so I booked this show, and I don't really think I can say very much about it, but it's with people that you will know. Everybody will know. It's the fifth season of a popular series on TV. It'll be coming out sometime soon. So yeah. So I had some bleach blonde locks for that show.
They did it for the show, or you had to get them?
I did it. So I had previously had locks, and they needed somebody specific who had locks for the show. And so I showed them photos of when I had locks and said, like, hey, I can come in for the shoot date with locks. And so they said, okay. And then I rapped and freestyled for them. And they liked my whole persona and my whole thing. And they said, okay, we're booking you contingent on you come in with locks.
Okay.
And I was like, dope, yeah. And
done,
so I,
done
I
and done.
Got my locks and went on in. And it was great. It was great.
I hate having to change my hair so often for shoots.
Well, I'm just doing this now. They're gonna just give me a wig if they don't. Such a lazy bug.
If you had a husband who knew how to do hair. See, this is why I want to do hair.
Ladies,
so do my wife's hair.
Get you
my,
a man
no.
that wants to do your hair.
That'd be great.
And it helped if I knew how to do my own hair too. When I, it would save me so much time instead of having to go to somebody.
So much money
so much
too.
Money
so much money.
So I'm thinking about all the different. Yep.
How are you gonna raise interracial children?
Well, what a very generic or general huge question. Regarding what? How
as
am I going to raise him regarding what?
Like your son. He's going to
mm-hmm.
be black.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you consider him black or half? Like, were you going to teach him both about both cultures, or are you going to be like, you're a black man in America, so there's things that
he
I'm...
He will be looked at as black, you know, by
yeah.
the outside mm-hmm. world. He's going to be looked at as black. And
yeah.
So
how do you raise a black man?
How do I raise a black man? Again, that's there's a lot that goes into that.
It's a lot.
So I am a father figure to a young man right now.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so...
Are you black?
He is.
Okay.
Yes. And, you know, one of the cool things that his mom has said to people about me is that she's never had to tell me what it's like to be black. Or she's never had to, these types of things. This kind of goes into the conversation that we had moments ago,
mm-hmm.
you know, where it's like, are you aware? Do you know how this culture perceives people, like the culture of the world, you know,
mm-hmm.
perceives the black culture and all this kind of stuff. So I think, yeah, there's a lot that goes into me raising a black man,
mm-hmm.
a black kid, a black teenager, all these kinds of things. That is very different, and that wouldn't be there in raising a white kid
right.
or whatever. It's like you have to have the talk. Besides the sex talk, you have to have the talk about, like, policemen and
mm-hmm.
all these kinds of things. And,
mm-hmm.
There's just a whole other world of things
like
that go along with it. So, yeah, I mean, I think you were talking before about, like, people needing to be compassionate and know about the burdens that come along with it. And so I think for me, being a Christian too, it's like, hey, I'm only going to do the things in life that I'm called to do.
Mm-hmm.
So by God, I also feel called to a black woman, life with a black woman, life with
okay.
a black family, black children. So yeah, I mean, there's added responsibility is what
mm-hmm.
you were getting at. And, yeah. So I don't pretend right at this exact moment to have all the answers, nor will I ever in my life have all the answers. But I certainly feel called and even qualified
to
marry a black woman and raise children.
I like what you said about the fact that, like, excuse me, I'm burping. It'll be a black child.
Yeah.
And that's not because I feel like the black or the white side is stronger, but in this world, especially in this country, it's definitely visuals.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's visuals.
Agreed.
Yeah.
What they see is what they see.
Yeah.
That's why I say if you're not black and white. The same, right? It's visually, what do they see of you?
Mm-hmm.
So people say they don't see color, or they emphasize that, oh, this person is half white. It's like, I do not take that from them. That's who they are. But what does the world see? That's very important to acknowledge what is in people's faces. So I feel like you saying that is like, this is going to work out. You're giving your child and yourself and your wife a fighting chance, of course, because if you're going to live in a world of like, I don't see this, not how we address it. You have to address
how the world sees things.
Yeah, how do we actually see things and how people operate. So that was great to say that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, too, with being a Christian and stuff like that, in raising kids and in being in a marriage like that, I would teach them as well, like, here's how God sees you. Here's what your identity is in Christ. Here's who you are. All of that, but that's a whole thing separate from, and here's what some of the negativity in our current culture is in our current world. You know, you teach them both. And what's the verse? The man, God looks at the heart, man looks at the outward appearance. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, yeah, God's looking at your heart. Here's your identity. But man, out there, like, they're going to be looking at your outward appearance. They're going to see who you are on the outside before they ever see who you are on the inside.
Dope.
Yeah.
Hey, all right. So, like, besides, okay, you like black women, like, what other things do you like? What's your type?
Ladies,
we're gonna get into this for you guys, and let you know where to put your applications in, see if you qualify for my friend here.
So my type. So I think the thing I want and need the most is somebody who's equally yoked. So what that means for whoever's listening, equally yoked in Christ, like we're pursuing the Lord in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Equally yoked is not just you both believe in Jesus, but it's that you both are living for Jesus in the same way. I'm getting a note here. I see.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm also like, right. Can I just tell you? So
sure,
I drive
sure.
a black Honda Element. That's what
okay,
it
yeah,
is. I was like, how much
parking,
is the answer to this?
Parking
and
stuff. Sorry.
Right
that
the
car
same
not
time.
Towed.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate
yeah.
that. Anyway, yeah, so equally yoked is the first thing. First and foremost, like, we both have to be pursuing the Lord. That's the big thing. That's the main thing.
So you can't just be coming into Christ?
If you're just coming into Christ and you're, like, super serious and all that kind of stuff, sure. I mean, like, are we in the same... It doesn't mean we have to have been Christians the same number of days.
Okay.
It just matters that we are...
On the same
in the
spiritual
same,
path, kind of.
Yeah. And
cool.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Anyway, so Christianity, that's obviously a huge one for me.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, like, healthy lifestyle is super important to me,
okay.
right? And so I'm about fitness and eating healthy and living this type of a life. And I definitely want a wife who we can do things like that together and we can live
right.
a healthy lifestyle together. We can teach our kids about a healthy lifestyle together and not be disconnected and
mm-hmm.
in that regard. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
And so then looks-wise, even with that, an athletic black woman is
mm-hmm.
very attractive to
okay.
me.
Okay.
You know, athletic, fit, like, oh, obviously, like, she takes care of herself. It's so much more than just the, yes, that looks very attractive, but it says so much more about who you are. Like, oh, man, you care about your body. You care about health and fitness and these kinds of things. So when I see an athletic woman, I'm like, okay, cool. So she, you know, she knows about health and fitness.
Go to the gym
like
together.
Right? Go to church, go to the gym.
Have some kombucha.
Avocado toast.
Avocado toast.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't even eat carbs, though, so I don't... She can eat toast. Like, I don't care if we're on the same diet.
You don't eat carbs!
I don't eat carbs unless they're fruits and vegetables. She can do that, whatever. We can be on different diets as long as we're both, like, being really, like... You know, just healthy and
do
enjoying
meat?
What's good for our body types. Yes.
Okay.
I do eat a lot of meat.
Yeah, he wouldn't eat at all if he didn't eat meat. Low carb, no meat. He's drinking water every day. He's actually fasting, ladies. He's not actually eating food at all.
I'm here eating grapes right now.
Okay. All right. Any preference as far as, like, light skin, dark skin, long hair, short hair?
Well, the hair's going to change all the time, as we've talked
mm-hmm,
about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm into that. And I'm into hair for sure. So I do have a preference for longer hair, but I know that even like with me, hair changes all the time.
Long
so
hair
I,
could happen tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. I'm open to her hair being long naturally, or whether it's a weave or a wig or locks
just
or whatever it is.
Like the long tresses.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Got it.
Okay.
Yep. What now?
Does she have to be? You mentioned that you are a virgin.
Mm-hmm. I did.
What is she? Ladies, this does exist. It does exist.
It does
exist.
It's
shocking to me.
See, here's this is why it's like, oh man, that's why the unicorn comment is like both flattering and sad, because it's like, because I'm very much about trying to promote, especially to our younger generation and whatnot, remaining a virgin until marriage, right? So I see that like people like Devon Franklin and Megan Good have a ministry for abstinence. Wonderful, beautiful, awesome. The world needs that. We need them doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I have a ministry where I'm trying to speak to kids so before they ever need that ministry, they can just remain virgins. They can save that for their wife or their husband. And I think that would just be, that's, I think, is a beautiful thing.
Right? Was Devon, Devon
was not
he
a virgin.
And neither
was
Megan, right?
So they have an abstinent ministry.
Okay.
Abstinence ministry.
Like Russell Williams and Ciara.
Yeah,
they also had
but
thing, right?
He was married before, so.
But they just didn't sleep with one another until they got married.
Exactly. Well, he said God spoke to him and was like, lead her.
Yeah, there
I was
you
like,
go.
Okay.
There you go. Okay.
Jesus, send him.
So let me tell you this, too, about, so I used to be part of a Bible study with Devon and Megan.
Okay.
And
There was a
time where Devon was speaking to everybody, and basically, like, saying, like, come on, you guys know, like, you've all messed up in this department. And I'm thinking to myself, actually, no. I think at the time I was 27, so I was like, 27 years. Like, I'm not going to let you just group me in and say that I've slept with somebody. Like, it's not an easy thing to do. It's very worthwhile, but it has its challenges, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, no, this is not the case. And also, so while we were there, while he was like trying to get everybody like, stand up, because I know you've all messed up in this area, like we're all going to pray together. And I was like, I am not standing up.
That's
like,
right.
Amen, like you guys want to do this and get out of this and, you know, pray and whatever. That's a beautiful ministry. But this is not my case. And there were two young black girls in that audience. And it broke my heart because I was like, he's not saying anything about the other side. These two, like, six-year-old girls are probably and hopefully virgins, right? And I was like, somebody needs to speak to them so they don't just see that this is what you do. You go out and do what you want, you mess up, and then you come to God. And then you ask for forgiveness. Like, yes, the Lord will forgive you, amen, but, like, these girls don't have to experience that and then go through the tears and all that kind of stuff and whatever, and finding God then. They could find it now. But Devon, you have to tell them that.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't. And so, again, his ministry is awesome. Devon's great. No shade to him or Megan.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody needs to speak about virginity to these six-year-old girls who are eventually going to be 26-year-old women, 36-year-old women, whatever.
Right.
So for me, that night was huge because I was like, no way. I got to go out and say as much as I can about this, anytime I can about this, so that those two girls and all the other little girls everywhere can know, like, you can do this.
Yeah.
And also that I could be an example to say, like, hey, like, there are men out there who are waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have to give yourselves away because there's only, you know, only men who are gonna, you have to sleep with them first or whatever. Like, no, come on. Like, no. Somebody's waiting. Somebody's waiting for you.
Aaron
is waiting. I mean...
Yeah, anyway,
it's
not just me. Yes, there's few people, but that's also why this ministry is necessary,
right?
Because you need to speak to the young men as well. That's like, hey, respect these ladies.
Right,
that's true.
Or these girls or whatever age they are. And they're more than what TV presents of them.
Yeah.
You know, black women are not just these sexual only things.
Twerkers.
Yeah.
Twerking and shaking it. Being all sassy.
Jiggly, 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 jiggly. Okay.
So anyway, so yeah.
So that kind of gives us a little, but does she have to be a virgin?
So I've dated, it's an interesting question that I knew you were going to ask me. I have dated, I think.
How?
Because everybody asks me the same questions.
Oh.
Because
I
I've dated...
Be original. That hurt my heart.
You're original. I didn't mean to say it in a mean way. but, look, I've dated... I think I dated one virgin and a bunch of people who weren't virgins. I just recently, or like some months ago, I don't know, 6 months ago, I don't know how long it's been, got out of a relationship with a woman who had a child.
Okay.
And...
What?
Yeah. And so...
I've had a lot of different interesting relationships, right? And different, it's been different. It's been different. It was different with the virgin than it was with the woman who had a child, or even with these other women who mm-hmm. didn't have a child. I would love to date and marry somebody who is a virgin. I would love to.
Do you know any?
I do. And you know what's cool? You know what's cool about this? Let me say this too, in another way to talk about like how black women are portrayed in the media and stuff like this, is like the only virgins I know are black women, actually. I know one male also who's a virgin. He's a white guy. But then all the other virgins I know are black females. And like beautiful, beautiful women too.
I was also a virgin.
Anyway, so where were we going with this? So there are other virgins out there and that kind of thing. And if you've messed up in that area and whatnot, there is forgiveness. You know, the Lord does forgive, you know, and Megan and Devon have a great ministry for it and a great book out and stuff like that. And so, like, I'm all about, like, forgiveness and, you know, the Lord knows I've had my own share of forgiveness from mm-hmm. him, and that has been so necessary to me. And, like, the Lord's grace is amazing. So there's definitely all of that. But I really would, at this point, after having dated so many non-virgins, I would like to experience what a relationship is like with a virgin.
Find that pure flower.
Okay. At this point.
Young lady.
So, two-part question. Uh-huh. Where do you find these black women you date?
Okay. I think that's the other one. I think that's on my list.
Is it? Are you mm-hmm. online? Are you going to the clubs? And so two parts. Let's say it's a in-person situation. Mm-hmm. What's your pickup line?
Okay.
Let me tell you how good the Lord is for you today.
What are you saying? How are you rolling them in?
I don't have a pickup line per se. I never have used the same line or even have like a line. It's more like whatever seems right to this person in the moment or in the moment we're in. Like, so yeah, I don't have a line or a pickup line or a handful of lines that I use. I don't have that stuff. All the people I've dated, I've met in person. I'm usually at some sort of Christian event, whether it's church or something else. I used to be, years ago, I was on SoulSwipe for a while, and I talked to...
You were not!
I was. I talked to a lot of people on there, but I never actually met up with anybody, because our conversations were always... I go deep pretty quick and talking mm-hmm. about the Lord and just
you really do who I am, because I know? Spoke like, this bear was talking to me about Jesus and I was like, who is this?
Right. So for me, it's like I cannot share stories about my life without talking about the Lord. Like my life mm-hmm. does not make sense without the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I feel like as a Christian, that's the way we should be living. And so anyway, they see that pretty quickly and they're either for it or not, or you know, we just realize, oh, we're not really on the same page, or whatever mm-hmm. it may be. So I had some great conversations with some beautiful women, just like texts and stuff like that, via SoulSwipe. And then I never met up with any of them, though. So, yeah.
Okay.
So I always meet people in person.
Okay, Robert Chewy.
I've met some people at the gym who I've tried to, like, talk to, or who have tried to talk to me, or whatever, but I never ended up dating anybody.
Do you get hit on a lot?
That way. I wouldn't say I get hit on a lot. I get a lot of like ladies letting me know that they're available to be hit on by me, which I think is great. Like I don't mind if somebody hits on me, but also I think there's something about a man pursuing a woman. And even if she started pursuing me, I would definitely do the rest of the pursuing, you know, I wouldn't just like wait around for her to do all that kind of stuff. But,
I like that.
So either way. So, but there's a lot more often they're letting me know that, you know, whether it's by something that they're saying and however they're whatever, or that deep stare into your eyes as you're like walking by where they're like not breaking eye contact whatsoever.
They're
it's like, just like, come talk to me. Which I love. I'm like, yes, love this eye contact, love this connection. And if I want to talk to them, I will. If you know, if I don't feel like I'm attracted to them, or I don't feel like whatever, then I
Don't.
Just move along. Eventually the eye contact breaks and I'm on my way to the drinking fountain.
Like wailing cry. All right. Erin, we definitely think that we want you back on another episode.
Yes.
More on dating stuff. We don't want to get too much, you know, overwhelm the people because it's going on a little long.
Oh, yeah. How long has it been?
I can't tell.
We've talked about, yeah, I mean, I'm sure we've talked about many overwhelming things already.
Yeah.
So, what's next for you?
Is this me career-wise or what?
Yeah, career-wise. Tell the people.
Career-wise. So, I'm a full-time actor. I have a ton of projects that are releasing, that are coming out. So I do a lot of horror films, I do a lot of TV and other films and stuff like that. So I'm all over the place. I'm currently shooting like 5 projects or something right now?
Yeah.
No, we need the brum brum brum.
Yeah, you do.
We need
there
that.
You go.
Yeah.
That'd
do
be
it.
Brum brum brum.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have some fun.
Actor,
I have
writer,
some fun projects coming up.
Filmmaker.
Or that I'm currently shooting and stuff like that. Yeah.
Cool. Where can the people?
I'm
find
not really a filmmaker. I'm just an actor.
Yeah,
and
what about
a
your
writer.
Film? You doing your film?
Yeah, like as I wrote it. I'm trying to sell it for somebody else to make it and just have me attached as like a co-star and for have it to star the woman.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So yeah, there's a lot going on and yeah. I'm
Are
on,
you
a,
on all
a,
the
so,
social medias.
I am on Insta. I'm on Facebook. I think that's about it.
Right. Twits? Are you on a Twitters?
I think I have an account, but I have not logged into it for probably 7 years or something.
Me either.
So, yeah, I don't know.
I like to get my news on Twitter.
Okay.
Sometimes.
But, yeah, okay. Facebook is Erin Groban. Instagram is Erin Groban. My IMDb is Erin Groban. Like,
don't leave no
rude
comments.
Groban.
Show love.
Right.
Yeah, I think we have a good audience.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We'll see about your audience. Or just, maybe they're a great audience and they just think
it's,
negatively about
it's,
me. Some people
do.
It's
our moms.
It's
my mother. It's
our moms.
She's going to be down for this.
Oh, great.
Very supportive people. So this is great.
All right, yeah. So
I think this is a good first interview.
I think it was a great first interview. Thank you, Erin, for coming on.
Yeah,
thanks for
thank
having
you.
Me. Yeah.
You know? And, yeah, tune in next time for another episode of
Dulce Virgo.